SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. No stream right this minute because we're using the New York studio facilities and Florida with a some sort of a Comcast kind of thing. And so maybe at some point this morning we'll switch over, and when Case lets me know that that Florida's up and running, we'll make the switch over. But just happy to be able to be on with you. On the network, which is always the priority. And I'll tell you one thing, priority-wise, got to talk about yesterday and those two stakes at Philly. You know, sometimes these stakes are, you know, you just record the results and, you know, you note some winners. Kate DeMasi kind of feels like she's got a very nice caught on her hands, winning time, who ended up going off as the third choice in that $200,000 Pennsylvania nursery. I was impressed, and 7 furlongs, which is, you know, a serious distance, and you had some horses that had established their form in this race yesterday. Gordian Knot, who kind of got untracked a little late. Ran okay, and 90% Maddie that we talked about with Butchie Reed on Monday. There was also a big price that came late to nab second at 80-1. Veasan, like VISN, right? Veasan, right? Isn't that the that's the that network? Ernesto Padillo Preciado. And a horse for Chuck Russo. But it was Pewter Stable here, and they're homebred, and the race was over. Syl Gonzalez had wrapped up and was cruising home. This is the horse that won by 11 first out for Kate, and Pewter Stable, a homebred, and I actually heard just before the show, it was funny because I was eager to reach out to Kate anyway, and I heard right from one of the partners, Ed Pugh, who's in Pewter, and both the, you know, the stallion and the mare. It's up and down. Wind chill. Stake winner for him. And the mare, Mary's Pegasus, a Fupeg daughter. So this is Kate DeMasi, does a great job. A terrific job, very quietly. Kind of the Kate the Kate O'Connell of Mid-Atlantic, right? That's a pretty good parallel. No fig yet. Let's see what. If I invoke the name of Dick Girardi. Sometimes, if Dick is listening, maybe we'll hear from Dick we're going to hear from Dick Powell in a second, but maybe we'll hear from Dick Girardi about the fig, because I'm very curious. And this is this horse debuted with an 82 buyer and a 5.25 on Thoroughgraph. It's a very, very serious number. Very interesting family, actually, that this mare has produced nothing but winners and has a full sibling, Word on a Wing, not a stake winner, but a fast horse, a fast sprinter, Word on a Wing. Yeah, that is a 6-time winner in 16 starts, 11 in the money finishes. Had a midshipman filly sister, Pegasus in Flight. 2-time winner. 12 in the money from 17 starts. Terra Firma on any given Saturday years ago, a Philly, six-time winner in 22 starts. And then Mary Giant, which was, I think, her first foal. Mary Giant, a red giant, going all the way back to 2013. Three-time winner. So now every one of her foals, Mary's Pegasus, is a multiple winner. You don't see that all that often. They'll be unraced. There'll be, you know, some that are 0 for whatever. One race winners. There was one unraced, the Patio Prado, that never made it to the races. So just one, there's one. Too Far Gone, a Patio Prado in 2015 that didn't make it, at least in North America. There's no record in North America. But winning time, absolutely in hand. Very impressive winning that Pennsylvania Nursery. And, you know, the race before cashed a decent ticket. And I hope some people played it. Girl Trouble for Butch that we talked about. She was also, you know, fairly outposted. This was only six. So going six, it's a little more challenging to run from out there. But she was 3-5, and there was never, she really, there was never any doubt under Paco. 3-5, paid 320. And then there was Gold Medal Anna, who, you know, yesterday we said who the obvious contenders were. But it was, in fact, this was a kind of a reverse tri-key, maybe. I hope some people heard me mention Blom, the Blofeld, for Maria Montoya, who came back and ended up third in here at 54-1. Got a $100 try out of this because of Blom. So that this was these races were worth were absolutely worth looking at, and they were, you know, from a competitive standpoint, and a, you know, from a wagering standpoint, that VEASAN at 80-1, I didn't have any inkling there, but $300 exacta with the 3-1 winner, and the try paid $315.50. 10-cent super paid $200. So if somehow you figured. And VEASAN was not the longest shot on the board either. VEASAN was 81-1, and there were two horses that were in the $130, $150 range on the board. So third longest shot on the board, and the fact that winning time, I suppose because, I don't know, maybe because people thought, you know, being out there in the 12 was a potentially, actually ended up 11 horses with the one scratch, Splendolino. The Todd Beatty didn't come over from Penn. But this was, you know, and now it's funny. Now I'm looking unbelievable. Now I'm looking back at my notes, the way I marked up the PPs. Unbelievable. I circled, you know, 90% Maddie, Gordian Knot, and winning time, and I had a question mark next to VEASAN. And I, boy, oh, boy. Ugh. I guess I didn't notice that. 45-60 to place. Wow. On the sheets, VEASAN was competitive, was just off, just looking now again back at it. Unbelievable. And I just, you know, I wow. That's too bad. All right. This is why you gotta go back. You gotta look at everything that you did, you know? So, wow. I blew that. How do you like that? All right. Anyway, I'm hoping to talk to Kate DeMasi because this is clearly an exciting colt for her and Pewter. So let's go back. I've not heard from Dick Girardi. So he's not listening this morning. Some mornings. He is. The number is back, actually. 78 buyer. So slight, from a numeric standpoint, slight regression from the 82. But this is, at the very least, a really nice PA bred and might be quite a bit more. Actually, Girl Trouble, should let Butch know, Girl Trouble, in hand, got a 74. And she is now, speaking of notable regional breads, let's see, 3 for 6. And she should be a handful against the Jersey bread crowd next year at Monmouth. Yeah, she'll be a prominent 3-year-old filly at Monmouth next summer. Pretty fun. Let me answer a question, and this came overnight. And I've been reaching out. In fact, you know what? Let me get Dick Powell in the background here, because Dick is not able to listen to the stream because we're not streaming yet. But I will answer this question with Dick on the line, and Seth Merrow and Joe Longo both assisting me with this question from this morning. And let me bring Dick in. Dick Powell, good morning.
Steve, good morning. If you want to give me 2 seconds, I can get my headset on and sound a little bit better.
You sound good anyway. This question, as Dick prepares.
I had you on speaker, and I don't want you to.
Oh, no. You sound great.
All right.
This question came from our friend Larry Hopkins overnight. When I got up this morning, it was waiting for me at Facebook, at Messenger. And with the conversation yesterday with Tyler Picklesheimer about Turfway's opening, 5:55 Eastern time, they kick off the meet, and they'll kick off most of their cards, and Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, and then Saturday afternoons. Well, Larry very presciently asked the question, am I able to bet on Capital OTB? We'll talk to Seth Merrow later. Am I able to bet past 7 o'clock? And the answer on Capital is no. Naira, yes. Naira bets, yes. Capital OTB, no. And this has got to do, and Dick, you've been around for all this, the insanity involving the harness tracks and their concern that night signals from thoroughbred outlets would somehow, you know, completely usurp the jugheads and the action on harness. And so in New York, there's this ancient creaking rule preventing the OTB system from taking thoroughbred action past 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it's 7:30.
7:30, okay.
It was designed in day one when all harness was at night. They didn't want thoroughbreds bleeding into their times, so they wanted to make sure they had 7:30 forward to themselves, and then that got knocked around as far as what they could do. So they somehow was written into the law that they can simulcast each other, they can simulcast other harness tracks after 7:30 at night, but they were not allowed to simulcast thoroughbred tracks. Now, there is some wiggle room. This is where it gets really crazy. There's a little bit of wiggle room, but it's based on, I don't know how many years ago, and the thoroughbred handle that they were doing back then. So in other words, there was some desire to have a hold harmless, so that if it could be shown that simulcast and thoroughbreds at night at OTB was going to hurt the harness tracks, then the harness tracks would have to come up with money. Well, what happened was, while this was all being settled, VLTs began. So VLTs began, and many harness tracks do not take horse racing seriously anymore. So their handle went down just because it went down.
Right.
You know, it went down because they were in the VLT business. They still had to run harness racing, but they didn't seem to be too eager to do so. So now that goes down and the OTBs get blamed for it. As if the little bit of nighttime thoroughbred that they were doing was causing it. So it made the OTBs back off even farther. And it's just never been addressed. There's just never been any movement to say, let's get rid of this. It's just there. It affects like a track like Presque Isle. You know, I'm trying to promote Presque Isle to different places.
Right.
And OTB was always a problem because depending on the Presque Isle post, I mean, we were at 5:30 for a while. So, you know, I'm asking you to take 4 or 5 races. Well, that sucks with pick fives and, you know, those type bets. So that made it very problematic, things like that. So it's just been this only in New York type
issue. Exactly.
That is there. I don't see it going away. And when you try to explain New York to an outsider, it's really tough because you're asking them to suspend belief and check your brain at the door and follow along.
Well, very famously, going back to the founding of OTBs in 1970, there was no model. The model subsequently, and famously also, the watchword around the industry everywhere else in the country was, however we're going to build an OTB system in our state, we're not going to do it the way they did it in New York. And that there's also even a further backstory that, for those of you that have been listening forever, in fact, John Nayrud, through the magic of Facebook memories, it came up, I think, yesterday that John had, I think it was 2008, maybe, or 2000. It was the anniversary yesterday of sort of a year-end visit from John Nayrud. John explained what transpired in those boardrooms at the time, you know, the NYRA trustees, and Nayrud was sent in to implore them to manage, to make sure that they would manage the OTB, and they wanted nothing to do with it at the time, and that's how we ended up with this albatross, this burdensome scenario of these, you know, 8 duchies around the country, around the state, and just crazy, just unbelievable. Dick, we're a little before post. I wanted to get to you early because we're dealing with these Happy Valley starts that are kind of early, and so only the last 2 races available to us. The Glasgow Handicap is about to go. We'll obviously set up more for the 8th race. We'll have more time for that to lead up, but a quick thought about this Glasgow Handicap?
One thing to know tonight, no Zach Purton. So Zach is off again with a PCR test that was, I don't know if it was inconclusive, but not enough to clear him from racing.
Well, didn't he? No, he rode earlier. Didn't he?
Well,
the 5th race, they didn't make the change in the charting, they've got him on Rattan Kingdom. Winning the 5th.
Because they sent out a
missive, yeah.
Yeah, they sent out the thing that he would be off. So,
I mean, they've got him on, they've got him having, you know, 1-1 and hit the board a bunch of times already. Matt Chadwick has got a pair of wins tonight, including just now on, a little earlier, had it on. He won for Cruz.
Yeah, got a phenomenal race. Just how that horse made up that kind of ground is just amazing. Not seeing Zach in race 5.
Then the program not notes. Seeing, yeah, the program notes did yeah. not. They did not get the jock change in then, because they've got him
Correct.
Listed.
Yeah, he's not riding tonight. So
there you go. All right. So that's it.
Let's see. The red light is on. I didn't spend a lot of time on this race.
favorite rewarding together. Chadwick again, potentially 5-2, the three horse, and 5-2 on Street Scream. Cruz with Angus Chung. They're split, and then Rock Your Heart, Vincent Ho, 4-1.
Horse that should improve is number 7, Dinkum.
All right, here we go. Just about set. This one, we're going to send them 3/4.
All set to go, rewarding together. Awesome distance specialist off the inside. Chadwick looking for some assistance. Racing, away they go. Astrologer missed the start. Classic Unicorn fast away. That's the norm for him. And he leads over Pinghai Galaxy, rewarding together Handy. Out wider Harmony and Rich Burning across. Handsome Bobo, Rock Your Heart. 2.5 away, Keep You Warm. 2 to Navas, 2. Around seizing the moment. And then came Street Scream, Astrologer. And back last of all, Grateful Heart, detached by 2 or 3. Classic Unicorn is the leader. Pace is strong. Leads here Harmony and Rich. Margin 1/2 length. Third is Pinghai Galaxy with the run on the trail, and then came Handsome Bobo. He's 1.5 lengths away. 2 lengths to Rock Your Heart, rewarding together. 2 lengths Keep You Warm, seizing the moment. Further back with Navas 2. Some of these are a long way away. Astrologer followed by Street Scream. He's got one behind him, and that is Grateful Heart. Classic Unicorn. What's he got left in the tank below the 300 metres? Still there is Pinghai Galaxy. Then came Handsome Bobo. Rock Your Heart starting to dash down the centre of the track. The leader is the grey, Pinghai Galaxy. Here comes rewarding together for Matthew Chadwick. Over the top again. Chadwick's having a field day, and that's a strong win from a course and distance specialist, rewarding together. He's got up to win and beaten. Second, Pinghai Galaxy. Third, Rock Your Heart from Handsome Bobo, I think in that order.
How about this? Chadwick, third win of the night in this case, Rock Your Heart, and no, I take that back. Thank you. The 3-1, third win for Chadwick.
Yeah, they got really strong out now. 23.05. Wow, that is cooking. I mean, because what you have to understand is, these races are automatically timed. They're not someone dropping a flag, and they are accurately measured. So in other words, there's no run-up. So the time of the race starts when the starter presses the button, similar to quarter horse racing in America. So first quarters in Hong Kong appear to be slow. They're not. They're smoking, and you always see it in the next fraction. But 23.05 is really, really quick. So that strung the field out, and Matthew picked up the pieces.
Well, and if you want to look ahead to the eighth race, which we'll do, and he's on a price in here. He's on Tianchi Monster this is from the. He's going to wear the 1, and he's leaving from the 9 hole in this 1 1/8 handicap. The Isle of Skye, Chadwick. You know, sometimes you just get aboard. I remember a day at Saratoga where Johnny, I think won 2 of the first 3, or 3 of the first 4, and my man Barry Fry. Barry said, "Who's Johnny on in this one?" I said, "Well, what the?" He said, "You bet the streak. Guy gets like this, you just..." And Johnny, I think he won 5 that day, or I think at least 5. And I'll never forget that. Barry said, "Bet the streak. Bet a hot guy." So we did.
Well, there's theories in baseball betting. It's called streaking.
Sure.
And what you do is you wait for a horse to win or lose 3 games in a row.
Yep.
And you just stick with them. Now, you know, they'll win, they'll lose. When you're betting winners, you're always laying odds. So the prices, you might need two winners to make up for the loss that's going to break the streak. But it's remarkable that in any given baseball season, there are teams that win 10 in a row. There are teams that lose 12 in a row. And they're the ones where you make your money. The others all kind of like break even. But it's an interesting thing because horse, you know, teams gone bad. They just keep going bad and bad. And a hot team, you're just betting that streak.
There's also, getaway day, right? If a team in a series, three game or a four game, there aren't that many four game series anymore. But one of the maxims in baseball was always home team losing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, bet them on Sunday. They won't lose on getaway day if they're going out of town, particularly. The guy that can help us with this, the one and only Maury Wolf. We got to call the Wolf when it comes to baseball betting. There's no bigger baseball bettor than Maury. Back to Dick. But you know what? Maybe we should, since we are on the. The HK conversation, 20 minutes to post for the eighth. Why don't you go ahead and go over this eighth race?
Okay. Eighth race is 1,800 meters, so they're going to start kind of at the top of the stretch to the right. Decent run into the first turn, and then one lap around, basically the seven furlong Happy Valley Turf Course. These are class three, hard-knocking horses, accomplished horses, and some moving up in class and obviously some moving down in class. The horse who's moving down in class is Kianki Monster, who was racing against class two, kind of in over his head, although his last race at class two was very good. He's only beaten three parts of a length, but because he's been losing form and ratings, he's now at the top of class three. So instead of carrying 117 like he did when he was at the bottom of class two, now at the top of class three, he moves up to 135 pounds, but faces less competition. Three of the top four horses in ratings drew badly. Tianqi Monster, the one, drew nine. Nearly Fine, the two, drew 10. Savvy Kingdom, horse I like, drew 12. I can't touch him from post 12. So that has kind of a odd effect on the running. It's going to force some of the riders to use speed. It's going to force the ones who drop back to be risking even farther back. So this might have some upset possibilities. And I like the six, Intrepid Winner. He was 15-1 earlier in the betting. I gotta check what he's doing now. Won his last time from post 10. Only picks up 5 pounds, which is the minimum off of a win. So, you know, the steward saw the win. Obviously, he got up by a head, and he moves up 5 pounds, which is not that big a deal. Harry Bentley back, draws post 5, so we get the much better post position. This is third start of the season. So he had the first run where he's only beaten a length and a quarter. The next run, he gets up by a head at 12-1. Now he's back picking up a little bit of weight, but getting a better post position. So Intrepid Winner at 15-1, very interesting. The other thing for me that's very interesting with him is his place price, which you can easily find in the current odds section of HKJC. So right now, Intrepid Winner is 23-1. He's gone up in price, and he's 4.8 to win to place. It's $9.60. So my bet is going to be 100 to win on the six, the place. Got to finish top three. It's not easy. You see how competitive these races are. But I think Intrepid Winner has to kick in the right circumstances to get in there. I'll bet a little bit to win, obviously, at 20-something one. I don't want to let that go by. So now that we got a price to lock in on, who are we going to pair him with? And obviously, one of them is going to be the favorite. Number two, Nearly Fine, who does have to overcome post 10, but gets the great Yu Bowman, who's been riding in Hong Kong recently and riding very well in Hong Kong recently. So he's going to have to use his magic from post 10 to kind of settle in that first run into the first sharp turn. But he's Yu Bowman, so I don't have much to worry about. The other one is Comet Splendido, who we had before at short odds, been favored his last three starts. Right now, he's 3.8-1, so he's $7.60. Gets 10 pounds off with Angus Chung as his rider for Danny Chum. So we're going to take the 2 and the 5 underneath the 6. So the bet is, for me, let's, all right, 20 to win on the 6, 100 to place on the 6, looking for that $9.60. And then we'll go $10 exact is 2, 5, with 6.
Very good. I like it. All right, Dick, let's do this. Yeah, Case, I'm talking to both Casey and Brian. Casey is ready for us to switch over so we can get the stream up and running for everybody. And actually, Brian's got he's going to step out anyway. So, all right, Case, let me let me just ask Case. You're ready to take the break, we'll do this a little this clever switchover. I'm just happy to have the backup opportunity so that we got started on time this morning, and thank Brian DiRenzo, the outstanding Capital District engineer, who we all got to know for his outstanding work at Capital OTB for years and years. All right. Let's try to do this. This will be interesting. And for those of you that went out to sit in the in the car to listen on Sirius XM, you can go back in the house now and pull it up and listen to the stream in a couple of seconds. Yeah, but Brian, run the break here, and Casey says he's ready. So thanks again to Brian. We'll take a break. We'll come back. This is old-fashioned. This is old school. We used to take breaks at the top and the bottom of the hour. Now we barely break at all. back after this, more Dick Powell, because, of course, the HKIR, the Hong Kong International Races, are now within sight on the horizon. All right, back after this. Stay with us.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.